Luke chapter number 23, I will be reading verses 39 to 43, and then after this we'll have our special and get right into the message. Luke 23, verses 39 to 43. It says like this, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that we can find power in your word. We can find help in a time of need. And Father, I pray that this morning as we begin to study your word and really study this passage, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would speak to us in a way that is uniquely to us in a specific area. Father, I pray that your spirit would take control of this service. I pray that it would fill me this morning, that he would allow me to speak what it is that you would have me to speak. I pray that I would not go off any tangent that would not be relevant to what the Holy Spirit would want us to hear this morning. And that, Father, you would work in this service, work in the hearts and lives of those of us that are here. And I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Cleansing flow. Now all I know, your
The message of the cross is a message of sacrifice. It's a message of selflessness. It's a message of salvation. It's a message that the devil hates. It's a message that the devil attacks over and over as much as he can, to the point where our world and our society and many therein deny the power of the cross and deny the message of the cross, would do anything to disrespect and mock the cross. Not too long ago, a few years ago, on a HBO show called Curb Your Enthusiasm, they thought it would be funny to get a cross and throw it in a bucket of urine and say that was art. And that was just somebody's take on the cross. It's something that is attacked over and over and over again, yet it's a power that cannot be denied by this world. It's a power that is beyond what Satan can control. It's a power that cannot be stopped by anyone or anything. It is God's power. And this morning I want to talk about the power of the cross. I want you to notice in this passage of Luke 23 that we can see what the cross can do and where its power lies. You see, its power lies not only in its message, but the effect that it has on the lives of those who believe on the cross, who believe on Him who died and gave His life for our sin. You see, this message is something that was and is life-changing. It's world-changing. I heard, and it's a message, by the way, that we ought to try to give to the next generation, to every generation that will hear this message. And I heard about a three-year-old by the name of Sean who was going to church with his father. And it was on Easter Sunday, as we'll be celebrating next week. And as they were walking into the church, his father was trying to start getting him to understand the message of the cross and the message of what it is to be a Christian and why Christ had to go to the cross. And as they walked into the church, he saw the cross that was hanging in front of the behind the pulpit in the front of the church. And the dad turned to his son and he said, now, son, I want you to understand that the significance of this cross that hangs on this in our church is that Jesus died because people nailed him to that cross. When the little boy heard that, his eyes widened up and he began to look around the church and he said, these people? But the truth of the matter is, as we give this message of the cross, we must understand and communicate that it was our sin that led Christ to that cross. And it was our sin that held him there. It was his love for us that held him there. And it's the power of the cross that has changed the lives of many today. Many that sit here this morning sit as changed people because not because they changed their diet and not because they changed their routine, not because they got a new job, but because they believe on the power of that cross. They believe on Him who died on that cross. And this week, as we will be remembering this, this is the Passover week, and as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, I want you to notice some of the power that lies in what He did. I want you to notice three truths this morning about the power of the cross that we see in Luke chapter 23. Notice, if you will, this morning, if you're taking notes, a sinner's condemnation. A sinner's condemnation. I want you to notice in verse 39, he says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us." I want you to understand this morning that Luke is the only one that talks about this part of the two thieves. In fact, if you look in Matthew chapter number 27 and then Mark chapter 15, you'll find that both Matthew and Mark tell us that both the thieves at the beginning mocked Jesus. Both of them were there railing against Jesus as he hung there on the cross. Both of them were talking of him and saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself. They were following what the scribes were saying. They're following what the Pharisees were saying. They were just following the crowd. And both the thieves, the one on the right and the one on the left, were both saying things at the beginning. But Luke records for us that one of them changed. one of them was different. I want you to notice first in their words as they first started before verse 39 in Matthew 27. It gives that account as both of them were willing. I want you to notice that they both were speaking against what Christ was doing. They were speaking against that sacrifice of Him on the cross. They were mocking Him as the crowd was mocking Him. And I mentioned this only to say this, that a sinner's condemnation can be seen in the words in which he says. Do you know that the words that you and I say reveal the heart that we have? If you look at Luke chapter number 6, verse number 45 in your Bible, you'll learn that the Bible says, a good man of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. You'll find that the Bible teaches that what we say really reflects who we are, what our character, what is in our heart. And this thief, as he's hanging on the cross there next to Jesus, both these thieves begin to rail on him. They begin to mock him. They show the kind of heart that he has. It was not a man. He was not a man that was a God-fearing man. He was not a man that was a moral man. He was not a man that really wanted to do right and glorify God with his life. He was not making right choices. In fact, the choices that he had made in his life had led him to that same condemnation, to a death on the cross. You'll find that it seems as you, when you read in the Bible this story of the crucifixion of Christ, you'll find that these two were already, seemed like they had their sentence already made for them. It only mentions, as this story goes, that there were two thieves that were going to be crucified that same day. They were already sentenced. They were already tried and found guilty of being thieves, and they're going to that cross and they're hanging at that same time. And out of their mouth, you can see that their heart is still not right. Facing death, facing the guilt of their choices in life, their heart is still one that would mock God and rail against Him. We find that a sinner that was condemned was a man there where his words, his own words, condemned him. It revealed a heart that did not love God, that did not seek after God. But I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, secondly, that of his works. Not only his words, but his works. You see, Matthew 27 tells us that he was a thief. This man was a criminal. This man had taken from others, and it really is not specific, but most of the time when a person was hung on a cross, it was not for petty thievery. It was not for just petty crimes, but for high crimes. I would imagine that this man, there's no really way to prove it through the Bible, but maybe just only through history. But I would venture to say that this man, in the process of stealing from others, was a man that beat others while he was stealing their things, their possessions. He was probably a man that perhaps had taken a life and murdered someone as he was stealing from them. And we find that this man was a thief that was on the cross. Both of them that were hanging by Jesus were people that in their words did not reflect love towards God, but in their works did not reflect a life that was any way close to righteous or godly. We find that in their life, the decisions that they had made were to go ahead and steal and harm and hurt and destroy. We find that he was a thief that was getting close to being before God. Before the judgment. You see, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, the very last verse of that book says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." This man was at the point where he was close to death. He was going in this condemnation to face God in this judgment. And he was going to be judged not only by the words that he said, but by the works that he did. We find that he was condemned not only by Roman society and by those of his peers, but he was going to be condemned by God himself. God says that we will all stand before him. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We find that this thief that hung on the cross was a sinner that was condemned. May I say this morning that each and every one of us that is born today, each and every one of us that is in a pew this morning, was born a sinner condemned. We were born in sin, and sin was I conceived, said the psalmist in Psalm 51. And that sin condemned us from the very beginning. The Bible says that he that hath not the Son is condemned. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We find that ourselves can relate to this man's position of being a sinner condemned. Each and every one of us have been condemned by sin. Each and every one of us has seen the results of sin in our life by the words that we have said and by the works that we have done. May I say, we will stand before God one day. There is a day that marches forward, and we don't know what day that might be, but there's a day that's coming of judgment. And much like that sinner was on that cross who was facing condemnation, we also will face condemnation. I want you to notice this morning that that man not only was a sinner that was condemned, but if you're taking notes, I want you to see that it was a sinner's confession in this passage. There was a sinner's confession. You notice in verse 39 that he said, one of the malefactors which hanged and railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself. But the other answering him rebuked him. And he said this, he said, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Verse 41 says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. I want you to notice this sinner that was condemned had a confession that he made. I want you to notice that this man's heart was changed as he hung on the cross. I can't really tell you what exactly changed his heart, but I would imagine if you read the passage that before, this was the third thing that Jesus said when he spoke to that sinner on the cross. But the second thing, or really the first thing that Jesus said as he hung on that cross, as everyone was mocking him, as the two thieves were joining in that mockery of Jesus Christ, they'll notice, and those two that were closest to him heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm sure that that man heard those words and began to think, even though he was hanging on a cross, condemned like the other thief that was there, he began to think and meditate upon what Jesus just had said. He thought, a man that just had gotten beaten that way, a man that was condemned the way that Jesus had been condemned by the Pharisees and falsely accused by all around, all those that were around him, he began to think of this man that just said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe that that message began to work into his heart. And though moments earlier he had been mocking Jesus, he now begins to reflect and to believe. You know, nobody can go through that without really, really being the Son of God. How could someone take that kind of beating and still love those that were beating him? How could someone that went through all of that pain and suffering still love someone enough to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? You see, this miracle of salvation is a miracle that happens in a moment. In a moment, that heart was changed and confession was made. I want you to notice, you say, well, what did he confess? He confessed, first of all, his sin. He said, we were justly punished for our crimes. He tells the other man, listen, do you not fear God? Do you not know what the Word of God says? Do you not know that there is Messiah? Listen, just by those words, it seems like these two thieves on the cross were probably Hebrews as well. If not, they at least knew a little bit about what the Scriptures had said. And he says, do you not fear God? Maybe you haven't made the best choices in life, and maybe the choices you have made have led you to this cross. But do you not know that we are about to face judgment? Did you not know that there is a life after death? Do you not fear your Creator? He said, we're hanging here because we robbed people. We stole. We are just reaping the decisions that we made. But he said, that man has done nothing to hang on this cross. He has done nothing to be beaten. He has done nothing to receive this suffering and this pain. We notice that there was a sinner's confession of sin. By the way, Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Psalm 53, verses 1 through 3 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. But every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. We find that that sinner, as he was on that cross, as he heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them," as he saw the situation and began to reflect upon who Jesus said he was, he began at that moment to believe that Jesus truly was the Son of God. And any time we begin to see Christ for who he is, you will begin to see you for who you are. And the reflection of the cross and the message of the cross brings us to this one point, that we are sinners. That if anyone deserved to be on a cross condemned, it's you and I. If anyone deserved to have that pain and suffering, it was you and I. And that man, as he reflects upon Jesus and reflects upon the words that Jesus said, he begins to see himself as one that is unrighteous and one that is not holy, one that is dying in his sin. I say this morning, just as much as we have been condemned by sin, if we confess our sin, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the great need of the hour this morning for every sinner is to confess his sin to God. Do you notice that man that hung on the cross, as he heard the words of Jesus, as he reflected on the suffering and pain that Jesus was going through, you'll notice that he didn't ask for a priest to come. You notice that he didn't ask for good works to do. You'll notice he didn't confess to someone else, to the other thief on the cross. No. You'll notice he confessed to Jesus. He said, "Man, I'm here because of what I decided to do." And he tell that other sinner, "You're here because of what you decided to do, but not him." We find that he had a confession of his sin. And may I say that any message that leads to salvation without mentioning sin is not the right message. Too many people today want to make it a message of, well, if you love God enough, then you'll be okay. Then God will accept you. If you could just do enough good works, then God will accept you. But may I say, there is no salvation without the recognition that you and I are sinners. We must come before Christ confessing our sin. But I want you to notice, secondly, not only the confession of his sin, but the confession of his need. You notice not only did he say, "Listen, I deserve to be up here and the decisions I've made have led me to this death," but he turns to Jesus. And I like that Luke says that, "And he said unto Jesus," of all the names that could be made and all the names that I've given to our God, I think Jesus is the greatest. You know that he could have said Elohim, which is the all-sufficient God, and he could have said some of these up here, Emmanuel, God with us. But Luke decided to put Jesus. Do you know the meaning of Jesus is Savior? You'll notice that that thief turns to the Savior and he said, "Lord, remember me. Remember me," he says, "when thou comest into thy kingdom." I see not only a confession of sin, of admitting that he deserved to be there, but a confession of his need. His need was to be remembered. His need was, "God, when you come back, will you remember me? Man, I know I haven't really done a lot of good things. I know my life really doesn't reflect a life that fears God. But here at the last moments of my life, I understand now. I understand my condition. I understand that I am condemned. But would you remember me?" Do you know what Jesus had said as he was, before he was on that cross, as he was ministering on this earth? He said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you know that Jesus never rejected anyone that came to him? Anyone that said, "Listen, God, I understand my sin." Anybody that came to Jesus and said, "Would you heal me? Hey, would you remember me? Would you change me?" We find that Jesus did it every time. We find that his disciples many times were like, "Okay, that's enough. Leave him alone. He's tired. We've been here all day." But Jesus never had that attitude. And Jesus always said, "Come unto me. Come unto me. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest." We see the sinner's confession of sin and his confession of a need. And I want you to notice lastly this morning a Savior's compassion. We saw the sinner that was condemned as he was hanging on the cross. We see his confession as he reflected more upon who Jesus is and what he had said and what he was doing. But then we notice a Savior's compassion. I want you to notice what Jesus said in verse number 43. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, his promise. The Savior's promise. You see, Jesus promised him there instantly new life. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say when you pass away. He didn't say 10 years from now. He didn't say, well, one day. He said today. It was an immediate answer. If you look, you'll find that today means something that was immediate. John 6:47 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." You see, when we come to the Savior confessing our need, confessing our sin, he promises to forgive. He promises salvation in that instant. This salvation miracle is a miracle of a moment. It's not a process. It's not something that you have to accumulate works. There is no works, and there's not enough works that you can do to have God's forgiveness, to have God's blessing in your life. There's really nothing that you can buy, nothing that you can pay for it. It is something that is a free gift. For by grace are we saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. We find that the Savior, even as he is dying, even as he is suffering, even as he is being mocked by those around the cross, even though he is being spit at, even though he has been given vinegar to drink, we find that the Savior is still compassionate to the needs of others. Not one time did Jesus say, "Oh, why you pity me? How about you remember me?" Nothing. Never. We find him having compassion towards others. I say this morning, as Christians, if you are here this morning, you've already confessed your sin. You've already asked Christ to be your Savior. Listen, you ought to have that same kind of compassion. Compassion that shows love towards others. We find that the Savior had compassion and he made him a promise. He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." It was a promise that was sure. A promise that was one that you could trust. We find that in the Word of God, there are many promises for you and I to meet our needs. Not only the promise of a Savior, but the promise that says, listen, if you just do what is right, I will bless you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise from God. Do you know that God says, "I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory"? That's a promise from God. Do you know that you can do what is right and God will always, always bless you? Why? That's a promise for God. You know, the Bible says that God cannot lie. God cannot change. God was not a liar in the Old Testament. God is not a liar in the New Testament. God is not a liar today. He promises to meet your needs. My friend, I encourage you, as you read his word, look for the promises of God. You know that God is promising you something every day in his word. If you'll search, you'll find someone has calculated there are thousands, literally thousands of promises in the word of God. There's a promise for every need that you will face in this life. God, as he's hanging on that cross and hears that confession of that sinner, he makes him a promise that he will save him. He will remember him. But I want you to notice, secondly, his provision. Not only his promise that truthfully, today, he will remember, but he says, "You will be with me in paradise." You'll notice the provision that God gave him was a place with him for all of eternity. He didn't say, "I'll put you somewhere else. I'll make sure that in the afterlife it's okay with you." But he said, "You'll be with me." You see, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. If you have your Bible, I want you to look there. John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. I want you to notice this promise that God has made and the provision of a place for us. You see, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So you know, this compassion of our Savior isn't just one to absolve sins and to take away and cleanse our hearts, but it also comes with the promise of an eternal place with Him. An eternal place in heaven. And I say this morning that even though that sinner that was on the cross was condemned, when he confessed his sin, the compassion of our Savior reached him. It changed not only his life, not only his position as an unrighteous man to being a righteous man. For the Bible says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Not only was he made righteous in that instant, but he was given a place in heaven. And today, my friend, may I say that that man, that sinner on the cross that repented, that sinner that saw his need, that called upon the Savior in the last moments of his life, is in heaven today. Today he is in that paradise that Jesus promised him. May I say this morning, if you've not put your trust in Jesus Christ, may I say that he has compassion even today and power to save you. You see, that's the true message of the cross. It's a message of not only the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross, but it's a message that God says, I can meet your needs this morning. I have the power to forgive. I have the power through the cross to give you a home in heaven. I wonder this morning how many of us have believed on that message. I wonder how many of us that message has changed us to the point to reflect that kind of compassion on others. If you believe this message, have you shared it this week? Did you share it last week? Simply saying this morning that this message is the power to change. It changed the man in his dying moments. It changed his destination from a place called hell to a place called heaven. It's a message of promise and it's a message of hope. And this morning, it's a message that God has for you. Someone has said, don't doubt in the night what God has given you in the light. I want you to know that this morning, this message of the cross is a message that can change you. A message that wants to help you. So I ask, are you in need today? There is power for you today. His promises are sure. His compassion is everlasting. Will you come to Him today? Will you allow that message to come into your heart? Let's pray.